G'day you mob, Pete here, and this is another episode of Aussie English, the number one place for anyone and everyone wanting to learn Australian English. So today I have a Goss episode for you where I sit down with my old man, my father, Ian Smithson, and we talk about the week's news, whether locally down under here in Australia or non-locally overseas in other parts of the world, okay? And we sometimes also talk about whatever comes to mind, right? If we can think of something interesting to share with you guys related to us or Australia, we also talk about that in the Goss. So these episodes are specifically designed to try and give you content about many different topics where we're obviously speaking in English and there are multiple people having a natural and spontaneous conversation in English. So it is particularly good to improve your listening skills. In order to complement that, though, I really recommend that you join the podcast membership or the academy membership at aussieenglish.com.au, where you will get access to the full transcripts of these episodes, the PDFs, the downloads, and you can also use the online PDF reader to read and listen at the same time. Okay, so if you really, really want to improve your listening skills fast, get the transcript, listen and read at the same time, keep practicing, and that is the quickest way to level up your English. Anyway, I've been rabbiting on a bit. I've been talking a bit. Let's just get into this episode, guys. Smack the bird, and let's get into it. Okay, so it is time for a little... Careful with that, Dad. Bend it forward.
Hang on.
I've got a cinder block here, guys. It's a large brick that has all of the mics attached to it.
Yes. All right, back again.
Yeah, so a little Q&A here. We had I put up a quick thing on Instagram asking you guys if you had any questions about the election coming up. So, we'll just go through some of these. So, all right, Apu asks, Liberal or Labor?
Labor.
Yeah, we're laughing here. Yeah. Assuming you've heard the previous episode. Yes. So, yeah.
Listen to the last 50 minutes
we
of rant.
Will be voting for Labor.
Yeah. Well, I will be voting Labor and Green.
Yeah.
I'll vote Labor because I actually like our local member.
Yeah.
Who is a Labor Party member.
Do you want to mention her name?
Libby Coker.
Yep.
For Corangamite.
Corangamite.
And I think she's done a good job as our local representative. And so I'd like to support her. But in the upper house, in the Senate, I will vote Green because I think the Senate as a house of review, on a philosophical basis, I believe that if it's just dominated by the two parties, then it's just a rubber stamp from the lower house.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you've got a number of independents or minority parties there, then the house of review actually gets... some more minority voices heard. So,
all right. Yeah. So I guess I'm sort of on board with that. I've always voted Labor and Greens. I've never voted for the Liberal Party. But yeah, do you want to explain what the Greens are? A little bit about how they differ from Labor.
Well, the Greens, they're basically it's environmental policy first.
Yeah.
And then everything else is based around that.
And you usually and it's not environment rights, only. Human rights as well, right?
Yes,
so gay
exactly.
marriage.
Yeah, they tend to be higher on those sort of social justice, social awareness issues. But they started off as a party of environmentalists.
Yeah.
But it's much broader than that now.
All right. Are we able to watch the counting of the votes after the election?
Well, you can't actually physically watch the counting as in the official count scrutineers or the counters actually picking the bits of paper out and counting them.
Yeah.
But there is live coverage typically on at least two commercial TV stations and the ABC, the government station, where they will be covering the count all night.
So, how long does it normally take?
The counting officially starts as soon as the polls close, which is 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, we don't really get any reasonable numbers through for about 2 hours. because you only ever get when a particular polling booth. Now, this is a bit more complicated because a polling booth is the physical location. Like in our case, my case, the physical location is usually the local primary school. The one
my
that,
primary school,
the one
right?
that Pete went to.
Surfside Primary School in Ocean Grove.
Yeah. And so shout out. There'll be a couple of thousand people during the day who will go and vote at that particular polling place because there are other polling places in Ocean Grove.
Yeah.
So Ocean Grove, there might be 7,000 or 8,000 people who are eligible to vote.
Yeah.
And there'll be two or three places that they could vote at, so maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people maximum at any one polling place. That polling place will count their votes, then they will submit those to the Australian Electoral Commission, and the Australian Electoral Commission, who are the organisation responsible for managing the election, they will then release those numbers to the media as soon as they've got them. In addition to that, though, there are typically scrutineers from each of the major parties who will sit in those polling booths. And they know the result before the Electoral Commission even gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And they will then be ringing up their head office, and the head office will then ring the media and so on. But you know, in a small, you know, particularly in little country towns where there might only be 100 people, it takes 20 minutes to count and recount, make sure you've got it right. Whereas if you've got a few thousand, it could take you an hour or 2 hours to count them.
Yeah.
And in some of the city suburbs, there might be 5,000 or 10,000 people in a particular polling booth. And so it could take a long time to get those through. And then you've got the case that we have three time zones in Australia as well. So Western Australia is 2 hours behind the East Coast, and so they will be 2 hours later. And so you never know a result quickly. Typically, you would know by about midnight, you'd have a pretty good idea of where it's going to go and who's going to win.
And what do they normally do? They'll just be showing on screen, right, when certain seats are won or lost,
and there'll be a panel discussion, and typically they'll have somebody from the left and somebody from the right and a political expert, and so they've got a balanced panel of people to talk about issues and things. Typically, the person, the politician from the Labor Party and the politician from the National or the Liberal Party will just be telling you what a great job their people did and how crap the rest were, and then they all know each other and most of them are friends, so they're usually just taking the piss out of each other half the time. Then you'll get the political experts, and Anthony Green, who is a national hero in Australia, I think. He knows more about the election process than any other human being in Australia.
To look him up,
he's on the ABC. You'll know him. Everybody knows him. Because every election he pops out on the ABC and he'll tell you, these have come from this particular polling booth in this seat and they're always going to be biased this way and they always come in early, so don't take any notice of those. And so he has that level of detail. So you get that sort of discussion. But then they'll also do the continuous run in each state. They'll be doing the run through each. And often it's just a scroll along the bottom of the screen and saying, you're looking at wearing an electorate called Corangamite. So you wait for the C's to come up and then you watch it. Oh, Corangamite. Oh, Libby Coke is leading. Right, go for it. Yeah. So, and then they'll pick out particular seats where they're marginal seats, where they're, the election is going to be won or lost on marginal seats. And so they're the ones that the discussion will concentrate on.
We got Ender here saying, we don't care, mate. Politicians are good liars. all of them are the same.
Yeah. What is
Do you think
Billy
they're all the same?
No, they're not all the same, but and we've spent 50 minutes ranting about some of the the lies and the everything else that you get
the
in
game.
It.
But, the game.
But I think
played,
that, I think Billy Connolly's great line was was one of the best I've heard, and that is, don't vote for them, it only encourages them.
And who's he? For anyone who doesn't know.
Scottish comedian. Yeah.
Don't vote for them, that only encourages them. Yeah.
The other one he used was anybody who wants to get into politics should be automatically exempt.
Or excluded, Ramon here says, how old do you have to be to vote? Is it 18 like in America?
Yes, it's 18.
Yep.
And unlike in America, it's compulsory to register to vote. And you don't register with a party like you do in America.
In
Australia,
weird,
you register with the Australian Electoral Commission. And they then require you to vote and you get checked off when you go and vote. And so the mandatory voting is something that is different in Australia from most places. I think we're one of about 16, I think it's 16 countries in the world that has it.
Do you find it sort of impolite or even rude to ask people about who they're voting for and why in Australia? Is that a taboo when talking about these sorts of topics?
It's a sort of generic taboo. I don't know.
Would you be offended if someone you didn't really know came up and asked
you?
No,
I wouldn't, but some people would.
Yeah. And why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think that's a really interesting one because my parents never told... Well, my father voted informal.
Yeah.
And he was happy to tell me that. My mother
Which means he didn't vote.
He didn't vote. My mother never told me who she voted for, although I could usually tell. She was a swinging voter.
Mm.
So I could usually tell who she was voting on based on what she was saying, but she would never tell me. And it's partly, I don't know whether it was that age of people, but I think it was partly the idea that, you know, voting is some sort of, it is a sacred and secret thing that you go into the thing and you stand in your little cardboard box and, you know, nobody can see who you vote for and you put, you know, you fold it up and you stick it in yourself. And so it is that sort of, you know, secret, but I don't know that who you vote for should be a secret.
I always thought for me it was more, if it's going to affect the country, it shouldn't be something that is, you know, you shouldn't have to tell anyone, but I feel like you should at least have thought about it enough to be justify, able to explain it to other people why
you put a number one next to.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like a lot of the time it's probably just a tap out where people don't necessarily want to be able to actually rationalize or justify who they're voting for. They just have a gut feeling and they don't want to be questioned about that.
I think it's that age-old expression of three things you never discuss is sex, politics, and religion.
And how the Ukrainian farmer got the tank.
Yeah, exactly. That is a great line. Sex because most people find it embarrassing. Religion because most people don't want to talk about their private beliefs. And politics because it's just a good excuse for an argument. And I think that's part of the problem is that people don't... It's not that they don't necessarily want to tell you who they voted for. They just don't want you to disagree because they know it's just going to be an argument.
Yeah.
And so, people are just not interested in getting into that argument.
Again, my thing would be you need to be able to navigate that for better or worse, right? Mm. Like, I feel like no matter how uncomfortable the other person is, there's always a way of having a conversation with them, right? No matter how annoying or belligerent they are, you can always still be polite and it's something you have to work on, but still be able to be like, look, I'm happy to chat to you about this, but I don't want to get emotional. I don't want you to get emotional. I don't want you to take anything personal, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but people will take it personal. There's plenty of people, if you disagree with them, they take that personal.
Well, and I guess you give people the benefit of the doubt until they prove you wrong, right? As opposed to assuming that everyone is always going to be an asshole when they ask you about politics.
Yeah.
That, at least that's where I come from. I always try and give people the benefit of the doubt when it comes to anything, which is why I'm so open about most things. I don't really have any subjects that I wouldn't talk to people about, really, unless they were, you know, really, really private ones.
Yeah, but then, but part of that, I think, is also your job.
Mm.
Your job is talking to people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're interested in people's opinions and, you know, how they came up with those ideas and so on, whereas a lot of people just genuinely
don't give a shit.
Well, not even don't give a shit, but they just don't want to
the
hassle of going through an argument.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, you know, and ultimately it's up to you, but that's just, this is just my view. If anyone were to ever ask me about this sort of stuff, I have no personal issue or qualms talking about it because I'm also comfortable having my beliefs questioned and then having to either justify it or change my mind. So, yeah, but it's up to you. Francesco here says, who is your preferred candidate? Do you know of family who won't vote? Candidate-wise, I mean, local candidate would be Libby Koch.
Coker.
I can see. I don't even really know their surnames and everything. I just know it's just a Labour chick.
Yeah.
That's about as much attention as I pay to it. You know, and we all play this game differently. And then, I guess, it's Anthony Albanese, although I'm not voting for him, effectively, right? Yeah. It's the head of the Labour Party that I want to get into power.
Your vote is going to contribute to him being the Prime Minister if Libby Coker gets in.
And we talked about this in the previous episode, of what level are you sort of worried about, you know, your vote counting? And at the moment, I don't even really... Besides the first names of Libby, who I pretty much learnt today, I don't really know the names of the local members running. I just know that I want Anthony Albanese and the Labour Party to be in control. Not even because they're my favourite party. Ideally, I would have the Greens in control, but that's just never going to happen.
Right.
And so, you have to sort of make an educated decision based on the outcome that you want. And I, first and foremost, it's just I do not want the Liberals in control. I want to give Labour a chance to not screw things up as badly as the Liberals have.
it's not a very high bar.
Yeah. So, that's where I guess I'm at with this stuff. But I don't have like a specific candidate. you know, for their own reasons. Mm. Like, I just don't know enough about Libby besides the fact that she's Labour and I want Labour to be in power. So, yeah. What about you?
Yeah, same thing. I think I'm voting for Libby Coker in Labour in the lower house. I have voted Greens before, knowing full well that in this electorate, a Green, you know, candidate is never going to get in the lower house in this electorate. This is never going to happen. Whereas there are some, I think we have two in Victoria.
Yep. In Melbourne, right?
In Melbourne.
And that's Adam Bandt.
Yeah, and I can't remember the name of the
other person. Fitzroy?
Melbourne.
Sure. Oh, okay, Melbourne. So just all of Melbourne. City okay,
of,
gotcha.
No, the actual city of Melbourne.
Yep, okay.
And then I'll vote, because we have two houses, I'll vote Greens in the-
Yeah, as you said.
The Senate.
Silly Sausage here says, how is it possible that with a population of 25 million, there aren't any better candidates?
Party politics.
I think, yeah, because they end up doing other things. Job? Yeah.
They're really cool, smart people, university professors, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're teachers, they're business people. They're also, there's a thousand other ways that people could be productive in our society that don't have the hassle of being a politician.
Well, I'm sure you've heard this before. I've had people before tell me, you should, you know, get interested in politics. And I'm like, yeah, fuck that. Yeah. Like, that is the... You know, the most torturous thing I can imagine having to do is, and I guess my first-hand sort of experience of this was seeing Peter Garrett, the lead singer of Midnight Oil, a band in Australia that you guys will probably know if you know that, How Can We Sleep When Our Beds Are Burning, that song, Burning Beds or whatever it is. I can't even remember the name of the song, but yeah, Beds Are Burning.
Beds Are Burning.
But he ran and got elected and was in the Labour government and effectively got nothing done, right? Yeah. And had to change his tune. Midnight Oil is renowned for being one of these very political bands, right? Mm. About as far left as you can get. Pro-Indigenous rights, logging of trees, you know, they would sing about coal mines and the damage it was doing to people and climate change.
He was president of the Australian Conservation Society
massively left. I remember him getting, I think he was effectively thrown under the bus, wasn't he, for a few tradies that died, and he was the head of the...
He was the Minister for Environment when they had this big program of putting insulation in ceilings in houses, rooms in houses, and the way it was administered by the government department responsible meant it was just paying a bunch of people who said they could do it and they weren't very good at doing it. Mm-hmm. And a couple of people got electrocuted because they weren't aware that there was live electric wires in the ceilings of houses. You know?
But anyway, I guess long story short, I remember seeing him... It blew my mind, firstly, that he would go into politics, but he obviously started from a place of wanting to... He wanted to make a difference for Indigenous people, for climate, for the average Australian. He wanted to make a difference, but then seeing him go in and effectively achieving fuck all.
Yeah.
And I, from memory, seeing him being interviewed during it and hearing his... You could clearly see that he was restrained, effectively, and not able to talk about the issues that he wanted to as openly and honestly as he wanted to. And it just seemed to... have a big impact on him, I think, probably at a personal level as well as a, public level.
Mm.
And just thinking, well, if someone like that goes into politics and is effectively ruined by it, or at least, one, achieves nothing and two, is kind of like trampled on and treated like crap and, what is the point?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What am I going to be able to achieve? And why would I want to put myself into a position to suffer like that?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, it is like I ditched... academia because I felt like there were just too many egotistical assholes in academia, and I can't imagine being in politics because it would all just be games constantly, I imagine, no matter what party you're in.
It's all a numbers game, literally, and that's what it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's why I would never personally run. I think why so many decent people, the kinds of people that you would probably want to be prime minister, never end up prime minister because they're kind of like, fuck this. Like, this, I don't want to have to play the slimy games that I would have to in order to end up in power and then be restrained and not be able to actually do anything once there, right? Because even with Scott Morrison, I bet he's not able to do most of what he probably wants to be able to do because of the people pulling the strings behind the scenes in the Liberal Party. And so, it just ends up this thing of like, why would you choose to do that? If your goal wasn't just getting your face in front of the camera and being the most powerful person in Australia, at least on the books. Anyway, rant over. This one comes from Ibrahim. I got my citizenship this year, so do I have to vote?
Congratulations. Yes, you do.
Yep.
You need to be registered to vote, and you, as part of that citizenship process, you would have been, I presume, given a registration form for that.
Well, what happens if you didn't? So, you went through the citizenship process, or you just turned 18
and you aren't
registered, what can you do? Who can you talk to get registered?
Just call the Electoral Commission.
Yep.
There are, depending on where you live, obviously in the major cities, there are Electoral Commission offices. You can literally walk in there and register to vote.
You pretty much only have to give them ID and your address, and they will.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah. They'll tell you this is where you need to vote on what day, and then that's it. Yeah. You just show up there, they'll have your name on it.
And the Electoral Commission gets an automated feed from birth, deaths, and marriages and immigration, I think, for dates of birth.
Okay.
So, birth, deaths, and marriages, obviously, and you would have received it, Pete, on your 18th birthday. You would have been sent a letter from the Electoral Commission saying, please register, fill in this form.
Yeah.
And it's you fill in your form and sign, I agree to the conditions, and you're done. That's the case. So, it's compulsory to be registered to vote, and once you are registered to vote, it is compulsory to vote.
Yeah. And if you don't, you'll get fined about $30
for not doing either of those things.
Yes. Elmada says, well, actually, it's probably Elam. Who's going to win?
I'm the worst person to give you this because I got it wrong for about the last four elections.
So just whatever Dad says, go with the opposite.
I'm not going to answer it.
Yeah, you jinx it. No, who do you think is going to win? As much as you want Labor to win, do you think they will?
There's part of me that says I want them to, therefore I'm biased. I also, and it's not even from the which side of politics I sit on, I also cannot believe that a party that has been so bad could possibly get re-elected.
It's one of those things you're like, I want to have faith in the average Australian seeing the Liberal Party and Scott Morrison for the fools that they are.
Exactly.
And just even if they were just a conservative few people Liberal voters
in a few marginal seats garbage. Yeah. To not vote Liberal National.
But a few times in general, have thought, yes, they're definitely going to vote these idiots out, and they end up getting through, and you're
last
just like,
time,
what the
last
fuck
time,
happened?
It was the unwinnable election.
Yeah, and you're just like, what? How does ScoMo...
Well, ScoMo fell over the line because Bill Shorten, who was the leader of the opposition at the last election, he went hard on having a detailed policy set, most of which made perfect sense. If you had the hour to read and think and contemplate them, and most people don't care.
Yeah.
They just want the 10-second grabs on the 6 o'clock news.
So, you think, obviously, you would like Labor to win, but you think the Liberals will win again?
No, I don't think they will.
You don't reckon?
I can't. But I didn't think Trump could possibly win.
I know, again.
That was impossible, but it happened.
Falling over the line. Pulling a Bradbury. Doing a Bradbury, right? Yeah. Look that up, guys. That's a good bit of Australian history.
Australian history.
He was the, I guess, for anyone who can't be fucked looking it up.
Speed skater.
Speed skater on ice who was coming last in the...
In the final.
Was it, which Olympics? Was it the 2000 Olympics?
Can't remember.
Actually, it would have been the Winter Olympics, right? So, it was probably 2002 or 2006, and he ended up staying behind, and his goal was to just stay out of the way and hope they fell over.
And hope he got a medal.
And everyone fell over, and he got gold.
Stephen, if you're listening, I doubt whether you are, but I don't want to paraphrase you, but I think the strategy was, if one person in front of me falls over, I win a medal. Because there's only four people in the final.
Yeah.
And
he just stayed
they
out
all
of the
fell
way.
Over.
Yeah, they got greedy. This one comes from Red Coriander. Why do Australians think Peter Dutton is a buffhead? And what's a buffhead?
Buffhead.
It's a polite way of calling someone a fuckhead, right?
Yeah, buffhead.
Or a dickhead.
Yeah, dickhead, fathead, buffhead.
It's a polite way of calling someone an idiot.
But it's not just an idiot. It's an idiot who is overconfident, blustering, never justifies what they say. Mm. They usually have controversial views.
I'd almost say it's endearing too, which I wouldn't use for buffhead. Dutton. I'd call him a fuckhead. Yeah. I wouldn't call him a buffhead. No.
But yeah, Mr. Potato Head.
I mean, you answer.
Why? Because he's all of those things. I think he doesn't seem to give honest answers to anything.
No.
He runs the party line, and he's, I think he's also nasty. And you get that impression from the way he deals with some things. That
he's just one of those guys you could just see the moment he starts talking. If he was your
next-door neighbour, you'd move.
Yeah. He just doesn't seem like a decent person. Yeah.
We're slandering a whole lot of people today.
I don't know. Hopefully, we don't get sued, right? Well, I guess this is all alleged. Sue me
for all
alleged.
The money I don't have.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah, but Dutton, I don't know. I've seen some stuff where, firstly, he's worth about, you know, $500 million, which makes you think just like, how on earth did that happen? you know, Jesus Christ. I think it's all real estate too.
I don't know. I don't know anything about his private life.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. So, yeah, there's just a lot to it. I don't know. And he just... One of the biggest things was I think he handed out a massive security, you know, like $150 million grant to a security company for Nauru. And I believe there is a young lady with the surname Dutton who works for that company. Mm. And so you're just like, oh, really? Like, really? And it turns out, like, if they were paying...
They were holding about 50 people there.
Yeah, and if they were paying the people that were working there based on the money that was being spent, the average security guard would be making over $1,000 a day. Yeah. And you just like, I don't know. So, look into it. But, yeah, I don't know. He just seems like a very untrustworthy kind of person. I just get a bad vibe. Just bad vibe. Do you think ScoMo will win the election? This one comes from Had.
Sorry, Had, no. For all the reasons above.
Yeah, I guess that's it with questions. Anything else you want to add?
No. I think I'm done.
Yeah, that's it. All right, well, thanks for joining us, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed it.
Thanks, everyone.
See you later.
Bye.